Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the place where sports opinions lie dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Bien. Joining me as usual is FIFO 24/7. Nikki Doucet, a.k.a. Mr. Disrespect. Mr. Disrespect, a.k.a. Nikki Doucet.
Get some AKAs right.
Yeah.
he just... All right. Again, check my record. We got to... Ken, you brought it up before. We got to follow through with it. We got to have a whole like list of all our hot takes and see where we was right, where we were wrong.
Yeah, pull a collar.
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta check them percentage.
Oh, we why is it we do this sports talk. They're trying to have a debate with us. May 11th for us. I gotta go to a graduation. I gotta go support the rising black youth off the stage. Plus, we got the Mortal Kombat tournament here on the 11th, too. For those of you that think you're good, there'll be a tournament here at Denon Studios here in Atlanta. Check Denon Gaming for details and sign up. And come get your ass whooped. It's that simple. Yeah, man, so this is going to definitely be a basketball-heavy show. Of course, there is some football-related news that we're going to get to as well. Obviously, Russell Wilson signing his contract is a big thing.
Top three. Y'all just going to play. Y'all going to play Russ. You over here talking about, I want to see the black youth. You don't want to see this black youth be a top three quarterback. He's a Super Bowl champion.
So is...
Don't say Trent Dilfer. Don't be disrespectful.
You know that's the go-to.
He was tied for third for touchdowns still. As a running team.
That's probably coming 5 yards out.
I don't give a damn if it's 2 yards.
I looked at the number. He's like 18th in yards on the season. 200 something. Less than 300 yards a game in passing. I mean, if you're doing like Brady, then yeah, you're gonna have.
You see the throws he makes. Come on, don't act like he's Dak Prescott.
No, he can make some great throws.
Dink and dag and all that. Just Dougie B. That's it. And he got a locket around his neck. I told you, keep him close. Let him just get a juju.
Somebody,
even if you had that.
Somebody. He hasn't had no real target out there. And you can't tell me Jimmy Graham because Jimmy Graham wasn't the same.
Jimmy Graham was a, I don't even know. That was an old man with an 88 jersey on.
I don't know, man. I just...
I get paranoid. Sorry.
It's happened before. But I look, Russell can play. It's just top three, top five. I'm just
I only think Rodgers and Breeze are better than him. That I can say really are better than him. Everything else is a discussion. Who you talking about? You talking about my homeboy? He only had 1 year. It don't matter. What happened to your 3 to 5? Why are you judging? How does your 3 to 5 not consistent?
Because in football it's different. Because
so you can ball out 1 year?
No, because you play in college 3 to 4. So football, you can't apply the same theories across all types of professional sports, bro. It's different. And basketball is different than football. The way that those guys are mature, more physically mature in football is different than
basketball. But you've seen a lot of people who just have really good one-off seasons.
But here's the thing, though. The reason why I'm putting Mahomes up there already is he has so much you can't. For that arm, bro, even if up he ain't all the way right, it's better than RG3. It's better than Kirk Cousins. It's better than bottom half of the league.
And I'm not saying he's not top five. I would put him in the top five right now, mm-hmm. but I can't put him top three because I have to respect the resume. You got to be doing it for a while for me to. When people game plan for Russ, they haven't even game plan for Mahomes like that for real. They got game tape on him now. We'll see in season two.
You get 50 touchdowns, you get game plan for, bro.
I'm talking about in season two when we got a whole season to look at.
And you know what? And I feel you. And the reason why, Ken, and this is before your time on the show, Ken can attribute. I was real high on RG3 rookie year. And after that, I sold all that stock because I knew, right? Like, I knew the fact that he didn't have the arm talent wasn't there. He wasn't.
The arm talent was. He had a huge arm.
He was from accurate, Baylor, but I don't think he'd go down and feel like that.
He couldn't pick you apart. He didn't have every throw.
Yeah, he didn't have every throw. He had a big throw.
I didn't say he didn't have a big arm.
That's what I meant to say. Okay.
He didn't have arm talent. Okay. When I say arm talent, it means you could make every single throw.
Okay.
You
put he had a big arm.
Huh?
He had a big arm like that?
Remember that New Orleans game?
Down the field. Like 30, 40, 50 yards down the field, he had an arm. But you ask him to throw a 15-yard out?
I thought that was more of his strength that he was less accurate downfield, but
now he could throw it down the field. He had bomb. Okay. Yeah,
he was a downfield thrower. Intermediate thrower.
That's why he wanted to be more of a pocket passer because he liked to do things down the field.
His athletic ability, right, was more outside of the pocket than in the pocket quickness, right? Like Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Right? Like these guys are really great in the pocket. You see their quickness in the pocket. They don't got to get outside to make a play with their feet. RG3 had to. So when I look at all of the intangibles that Mahomes has, even if mentally he's not at the level, even if he doesn't improve, physically there's not three guys better in the league.
And I'm just saying, look at the tapes without a running back, without Kareem Hunt.
Of course it's different.
And now Tyreek, he may be in and out the lineup. Of
course, that's different. But that's more Andy Reid than Mahomes. That's more Andy Reid. Because at the end of the day, you know that when you create your identity, right, and you start to lose pieces, you can adjust, but you can't recreate what you are or what you need to be without those guys. You can adjust, but that's about it. So we saw them adjust, and it wasn't enough. But now you know you don't have Kareem Hunt. So you're going into the draft, right, looking for a replacement, possibly free agent, whatever, whatever. We'll see. We'll see how it happens or whatever they decide to do. But now Andy Reid is going to know exactly what he has going into the offseason. But with that boy Mahomes, it don't matter, man.
I've seen Russell in more playoff games, more clutch.
Over under 35 touchdowns for Mahomes.
Oh, if Russ can throw 30 something, yeah, Mahomes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not. Yeah, that's easy.
40 then. Let's up the
ante. I think he can throw 40.
You?
This season, can he throw over 40 touchdowns? Yes.
Under, over. Over, under.
I'm going to do under.
I got over 40, bro.
I got over 40.
Anyway, for those of you that don't know what we're arguing about, Russell Wilson agreed to a 4-year, $140 million deal with the Seattle Seahawks. He gave them a deadline on, like Mr. Disrespect said, on tax day. And they agreed to it, man. So $65 million signing bonus, which is crazy. So they offered to keep him.
He could have got what? That's the one thing.
Wait, hold on. $65 million signing bonus or $65 million guaranteed?
It's guaranteed.
Okay.
It's they said it's a signing bonus, so it's probably a guaranteed signing bonus.
No. So signing bonus in the NFL is your upfront money. Like you sign your contract, you cash in a check for $65 million.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if they gave him 65 up front. They usually break it apart. They usually give you like 30 something up front. Mm-hmm. And then the rest you get towards the end of the season.
Okay. So it says full details. This is a rap sheet on Twitter. Full details for the Seahawks and Russ. 4 new years, 140. We already said that. $65 million to sign. Total guarantee, $107 million. And no trade clause, and he's under contract for 5 years, $157 million.
Oh, okay. So that means that he's getting paid $42 million over 4 seasons. So that, you know, give or take $10 million season. They're 65 today.
It's an extension of his previous deal, which was like 17 this year he was getting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a 5 year, 152. I mean, how much was it? Yeah, it was 140. It's basically like a 5 year, 150 something.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All I know, I got 65 today.
Oh, no. Him and Sierra are happy. Ooh. You see that message? They had a little video message mm-hmm. they sent to the world.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
He got paid.
I'm curious about while we're on this topic. How you feel about this, Nick? Because I know you've been pushing for the brother to get paid. You wanted him to get paid, but you also have pushed for the new thing that's going on in the NFL, rookie contracts. You're not a fan of locking up a large sum of money at one position.
No, I'm not a fan of locking up a large sum of money at position if it takes away from other positions. So, for example, with Seattle, they've shown that they can draft well. They shown that they can draft well, and they've shown that they get the right certain key free agents.
How do you draft well?
But they only draft well on one side of the ball.
They do. I'm saying, but they draft well enough to where they draft better regardless of whatever side of the ball than Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So offense and defense. Draft better than who have they brought in?
They missed out on Rashard Penny. Chris Carson was effective. They drafted a running back last year that can't even get on the field. Receivers and
no, but I'm just saying
they did rebuild that O line through the draft, and the O line is much better. So I give them that. But the skill positions offensively, they've
had good skill positions. They had Golden Tate early.
Did they draft Golden Tate?
He came from Detroit, didn't he?
No. He went to Detroit.
Went to Detroit.
Did they draft?
I think they did draft.
They drafted Golden Tate. They got Doug Baldwin. They got Tyler Lockett. Like they've gotten players how many players? What team in their franchise history has even had Antonio Brown or Julio Jones?
The Panthers. When it comes to drafting offensive skill,
I'm just saying. Seattle.
They need to go trade for AJ Green. Like all I'm saying is this. Right?
They're not the best, but they've done enough to where they've shown
they're competitive
and they take it seriously. And Russell, but to your point, they haven't gotten to AJ Green. They haven't got Travis Kelce. They haven't surrounded him with the best talent. So he was on the cheap for a while, like, so as far as a quarterback.
They did draft Golden Tate, but he didn't ball out for real until they got to Detroit.
Mm. Yeah, because the offense, there's two different offenses.
One is running. He didn't hit 1,000 yards in Seattle his last year, but he had 898 yards, 64 receptions, and 5 touchdowns. He was effective.
That's what I'm saying. But they're a run team.
Number three wide receiver type numbers, man.
But that fits in their scheme. All I'm saying is that I don't mind Russell getting paid because they shown that they can be competitive. They could have won that game against the Cowboys that was more of them reigning in Russell than the Cowboys winning to me. Cause if they let Russell loose as what they did in the second half, they scored some points.
But they
weren't consistent throughout the whole game. My point is as far as the QBs when it comes to drafting a QB and surrounded with talent is more of if you, like I've noticed that with Cincinnati, that's what they try to do with Andy Dalton, that Andy Dalton era when they drafted Andy Dalton and AJ Green. Mm. That was when they were building, they were in the playoffs his first five seasons. But that was only able, that was only happening because he was on his rookie deal. They had other players. They were paying other players at the time at key positions. That works. But if you're doing the Green Bay Packers paying the best player at his position, Aaron Rodgers giving him everything he wants, that won't help you out in other areas if you don't draft well. That's what I'm saying. That's why it puts more pressure on the executive to draft well, to get free agents, to make it happen. Because otherwise, if you don't make that happen, then you're just wasting money and wasting his prime years.
So I'm looking at their draft picks since they got Russ in the third round. That year, they draft Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, and then Russ. You know, with the first three.
Talk about a hitting the drags.
Then after that.
That's a whole team rebuild right there.
Yeah. They had Spencer Ware. They let him go. They had Christian. They drafted Christian Michael. They thought he was going to be something, nothing. The year after that, Paul Richardson.
He was solid. He almost got them. He almost helped them win the Super Bowl.
Everybody else looked like they gone. Frank Clark, who's a player. Tyler Lockett is okay.
He's an all pro.
CJ Prosize, who's still around. Alex Collins, I think they let him go. He's a running back.
Yeah, I know.
Collins went to Baltimore.
Yep, he went to Baltimore last year. Nothing. Chris Carson in the seventh round. And then last year, Rashard Penny. Will Disley, the tight end, he got hurt. Shaquem Griffin. And then, of course, the year before in 2017, his brother Shaquille. They haven't hit, man. I can give you the list and find me some players.
I'm just saying, but as far, again, when you draft your players, right? You don't just draft just to draft. Like, you've seen certain teams, you know, live high risk, high reward with that method. But for Seattle, they've always drafted their players and their players are effective.
No, I agree. They are effective, but that don't mean they draft well. Cause I don't think they draft
well. If you're always in the playoff hunt or you're a possible contender, that means you draft well consistently.
Not necessarily because oftentimes, especially in the NFL, like, and I've said it, like, you can damn near pick playoff teams, but just by their quarterback, damn near.
I was gonna say, especially last year, that shows you that it's a false.
With you saying he's top three, then he should be automatically in playoff contention every year.
He is.
So,
but that doesn't mean that the
name me a team that doesn't draft well that's in playoff contention.
If you got the Green Bay.
They haven't been in the playoffs the last two seasons, right?
But they're always in playoff contention.
But they don't draft.
They don't draft well.
But they're not also in playoff contention.
They're playoff contention just because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But no, I'm trying to think of a team that drafts well that hasn't been in playoff contention. I think you can maybe, and it's still early in the regime, but San Fran, you know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, they're still on the way. Cincinnati has drafted really well.
Not lately. At one point, they had a run. That's what I was saying. The Patriots don't draft well. The Patriots draft really well.
No, they don't.
Are you serious? Nate Solder? What's his name?
They're skill positions, bro. They're not at skill positions.
Not Jamie, skill position. Or skill. No, you're not a wide receiver, yeah. But as far as running holistic. They just got Sonny Michel. Yes,
but that's one.
Yeah.
That's one.
They don't draft well.
Name another one.
I'm not a Pats fan.
I'm just saying
they had the two tight ends. They've had,
you're not going to strike out all the time, yeah. But. And I put it to you like this.
If it wasn't for Hernandez, they still could have been going stronger.
They're killing folks, huh?
Let me think of another team. Would you say New Orleans drafts well?
I don't think so. I think so.
You know what? I think what New Orleans does
Lattimore.
Best, what New Orleans does best is that they find gems.
Like Colston.
Colston. Who's this new wide receiver that they got?
Traquan Smith.
The short,
fast, speedy guy.
Nah, he's a big guy.
I know who you're talking about. I'm gonna have to look it up. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But him, like, they find gems, like, but they don't draft like a whole squad. Like, they'll find one or two.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, as long as you keep building.
I think the Chargers draft well.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, they do. They Chargers draft well.
But I'm just saying, but usually my main point was that usually when you draft well, that means it will lead to playoff contention because you have good players. It's like the problem that Dallas has right now is that they've drafted so well the last few years that now it's time to pay these players. And now that puts them in a position of picking who they want to keep.
And you know what? Dallas has drafted well, but some of those guys are overrated.
Who? Are you talking about Lawrence?
When I look up and down there,
he got paid too much. I agree if that's what you're going. He got paid too much.
And now he hurt.
He hurt too?
Yeah, he got hurt.
I don't know, man. Outside of Zeke, what's the running back name?
Zeke.
Elliott.
Yeah, Elliott. Outside of the running back, I think all of those other guys are middle upper tiered. That's about it. And I think that they're overpaying for
But you know, you know, they got to overpay for Dak. Because of the position, which was my point as far as he's not going to take a discount.
I don't know about that.
The media, everybody and their mama said that you should only ask for a discount. For real. Like, we're doing you a favor by giving you. Hell no. This market, y'all talk about the QB market all the time, and I say it's oversaturated. And then when he gets paid, it's going to be proof. Cause I mean, I still got a lot of shit saved up for when Jimmy Garoppolo really shits the bed, and I'm gonna tell all y'all he should have never got paid for only 7 games. He's basically Matt Flynn 2.0. But I'm sitting on a lot of stuff right now.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But when Dak gets paid, he's gonna get paid at least $30 million a year.
I think with Russ, I think Seattle, I don't think they draft well. They pick complementary pieces, which have managed to work.
They draft defense well, though.
They do draft defense well, yes.
No, I'll say they draft defense great. They draft everything else decent to well.
But I think that could work in their favor because now they got Russ locked up. So if they manage to flip it and get those skill positions and find those gems at the skill positions.
The only reason why they also paid them is because they don't really have that many draft picks this year. In this year's draft. So it's like, we have no excuse not to pay him. Yeah. And he gave us a deadline. And he also is talking about literally moving across the country just because he wants to be valued. So when you have a quarterback who is arguably top three, definitely top five, you got to make sure you take care of him because he's been keeping his mouth shut. He's probably the best. If you were to drop a quarterback as far as how to run an offense or to even be a part of your organization to be the face of it, he's the prototype.
Time for a Twitter poll. Is Russell Wilson a top five QB?
He's definitely top five.
He's top five. You can't name me five QBs better than him. Big Ben is not better than him.
Historically, career wise, I guess.
Yes.
Today,
no.
Nah, bruh.
If Russell Wilson had AB, Le'Veon Bell, and Juju, he has 35 touchdowns with Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, and whoever the hell, whatever the third three Stooges name was. Like, give him that type of level of talent, and he is doing Patrick Mahomes numbers. He's doing 50. Because you would have to.
I don't know
about 50.
He could do 50.
50 special. Like super special.
He was only 15 touchdowns away. You think he can't get 15 more touchdowns with AB and Juju? That's guaranteed.
Is Russell Wilson a top five QB or should I do is Russell Wilson top five, top 10, top 15?
Wow. You over here disrespecting. Why you gotta?
I'm just gonna give the people an option.
Man. Why you taking on this man moniker today, man?
No, I'm just. I'm just.
You a brother too. You just.
How should I word the question? I want to be fair.
You're just staying for top three.
Yeah, is he a top three quarterback?
Because top five, you got to give him top five.
I don't think you do.
Top three is that's where the debate is at.
Who's your top five?
So what about is Russell a top? So should I have the answers top five or top three?
No, you should say is Russell Wilson a top three quarterback?
Just do it flat out.
No.
Black or white.
Yep.
You don't think he's top three.
I think it's arguable. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that consider it.
If he was in New York right now, he would be easily known as a top three quarterback. It's just because he's in Seattle. I promise you, it's that market.
Built his brand up in Seattle.
Pete Carroll built his brand. Pete Carroll's a bigger name in Seattle than Russell Wilson, I think.
I don't know.
And they've strategically made sure that happened. All up right, until anyway. This point where they just paid him.
Let me pull up this list. So that's it with Russell. We got the poll on Twitter. Go vote. Vote no. man, so let's see.
Did you want to finish Magic?
We are, but we got to give... Man, I wish B was here for this.
Okay.
And I wish Kyle was here for this, too, because they... Were you part of that conversation, too? Yeah, about Tiger. Because I used to go back and they had legitimate reason for thinking Tiger was done and that what he wouldn't win another major.
So you think he's back?
I do. I thought he was
back. Oh, my goodness. Come on, man.
I thought he was back. He was back last. He was in.
I've been watching damn near. It's only been a day or two. And all these media pundits talking about, he's back. He's going to challenge. They going to challenge Jack Nicholson or whoever his name, whatever Nicholson it is. He going to get him. Man, and I'm like, bro,
everybody,
he win one major in what, over a decade?
It took a minute. Look, everybody you're seeing that's saying he's back today after this.
Larry Bird got a better back than him right now.
Yeah,
and you think he's back?
I do think he's back. He almost won two last year. He just, and I felt that at some point he was going to crack through, and he did. The people that are saying that he's back now were the same people that said he wasn't back last year and beyond. I'm consistent.
But here's the thing, though. Like, you're saying that Tiger Woods is back.
Yep.
So do you understand what that means, right?
He's not 90s Tiger Woods.
But when you say Tiger is back, to me, and I'm not a golf guy, but obviously I'm a Tiger guy. Everybody was a Tiger guy, right? Like, if you're melanated at any capacity,
yeah, of course,
you're a Tiger guy. So all I'm saying is what I remember, like this is going to be Michael Jordan with Washington.
No.
Yes, because if you say Tiger's back, that means he's winning two championships a year.
I think he's going to beat Jack Nicklaus' record. I think he's going to win four more.
It's going to take him another 10? To win three?
However long it takes. The record.
To be honest, this is more like when Dirk got his first ring. It was like, you knew you're glad he got one, but you knew that was about it.
the disrespect to Tiger. He's more Jordan than Dirk.
He is. He is, though. Come on.
Yeah.
No, I give you that. But at this point in time, if we're going to stick with Jordan, then he is in his wizard days.
Yep. He is, man. I just,
golf is a different sport. I think that's a.
I feel you.
Jordan golf too.
Could literally play another 10 years.
Yeah,
like, it is.
I don't see him playing that long. His health is a really. I don't think y'all really. Even his age is young, but his body is old.
I think his body is in far better shape than it was.
He's had two back surgeries.
When 10-15 years ago, Nick.
And that was when he was in his 30s. Now you're asking him to get healthier as he gets older?
But look at the evolution of Tiger to where he is now.
Yeah, he's aging look like at, an Asian man and not a black man.
I know,
man.
But Tiger used to... Think about all the tournaments Tiger used to drop out of because of his injuries, right? Over the last couple of years, that has dwindled over the last few years. He's finishing tournaments, whereas in the past, he did not finish tournaments. He was in contention twice last year and fell short, and he finally broke through.
He's on that. And you're saying that he's out playing.
He's got what, 15 titles?
I'm saying he's not as hurt as he used to be when he was trying to come back.
He's more healthy.
Yeah.
He's more healthy. But just, he's older.
But just because you're more healthy doesn't mean you're healthier. Like, it's not
he's healthier than he was.
That's not saying much.
He
was broken down. He was on pain pills. He got addicted to pain pills because he couldn't. That's how much pain he was in.
He's not at that level anymore. He's way healthier than he was. Health was the reason why he was.
He's normal right now, and he's still, and it's still maybe you're asking him to break to get three more. What does he need? Three more titles?
Yeah, I think he'll get.
He needs three more titles to tie. He needs four to break.
I lost him, Evo. I think he'll get three more. Oh, it has. I saw it flashing. I don't know what's going on. Well, they can listen to the podcast. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's back. I think he'll win. I think he'll win three more, and you know. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Look, here's the thing. I think he'll definitely win more, but to say he's back means to is to say that he's going to be dominant.
Exactly. He's number one.
And I don't think that he's going to be as dominant as he once
okay.
was.
Okay.
There's some and young boys.
He's way more competitive. I think he has an opportunity to tie or break it, but it's not going to be like he's going to do it in the next two or three tournaments.
Okay. I agree with that point. As far as his dominance, those days are probably gone. I think age is catching up with him. So that's just part of it. And there are younger guys that that, you know, because of their age will be able to give him a run for his money. But yes, he will compete. And I think he'll compete at a high enough level to where, you know, he'll be able to break three. But will he be Tiger of old? No, I think health is taking care of that. But
And age.
Yeah, age. And but I think he'll still be able to get break Jack's record.
You asking a lot. I mean, it was good to see him win again, especially all he's been through.
Nick, most people didn't think he was going to ever win.
I was one of them at one point. Well, actually, I was until this past weekend, but I was happy to see that he was.
That's what a lot of people.
I was happy to see him win because I thought he was going to quit. I didn't want to see him quit the sport, going out that way. Yeah. I didn't want to see a black man get taken out by white women. Basically, that's what I was trying to get.
I didn't think he was going to quit. I thought he was way too competitive. I thought it was just a matter of time.
But I mean, like, a lot of people were piling on him as far as like, you're done, it's over.
Yeah.
Like,
that could be motivation for a very competitive people.
Yeah, but for him, it wasn't motivation. It was a low point. That's when he got addicted to drugs and all that. Like,
I don't think the low point drove him the drugs. I think the pain he was in drove him the drugs, as you highlighted earlier.
But pain is also mentally too. Like,
I think it was physical pain, though.
No, I mean, I'm saying it goes hand in hand.
I don't think the mental had anything to do with it at that point.
You're just a fan. You're just going to stick to the brand and that's it.
I just believe, man. I believe in greatness. And I thought that most of Tiger's issues, I truly believe that most of Tiger's issues was health related. And if he was able to fix that and adjust to how his body is in his current state, he would be able to win again. And I held on to that belief for years. And then he slowly started to compete. He started to stay in tournaments. He started to finish tournaments. Then he started to be in the top 10 and top five. And it was just a matter before he broke through. So, but will he put the fear of God into people that he used to? Maybe not, but we don't know.
I put it to you like this. He goes out to his next major tournament. He wins that in convincing fashion. I might have to give it to you.
And he was trailing. He had to come back and win.
This is his biggest comeback.
You know,
like, he had to actually really go out and get this one.
So that speaks to the mental. Like,
but I'm just happy with this one. It showed that he wasn't, you know, as washed as everybody thought he was, and it shows that, like,
no, I mean, no, let's. I mean, you know, we call it what it is. He was washed. His health made him washed. He just got healthier.
But that's the thing. If your health is the reason why you are what you are, like, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't really define your career to me. This, to me, cause like we've seen other players
with
injuries,
yeah.
Like it doesn't define your career, but it just hurt.
It's part of the story.
Yeah.
Like it becomes, man, what if?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So I'm glad he, even if he don't win another, man, I'm glad he just silenced the critics, cause there were a lot of people jumping on Tiger that used to be Tiger fans that love golf, and they just was ripping his brother apart even when he came close to winning, and people just gave up on him. And I just had a feeling, and I just saw it, and I saw how hard he was working, and he was legit trying. And and he got there, and he finally broke through, and he proved a lot of people wrong, especially out there in the sports media that talked a lot of shit. So you know, Sunday was Tiger's moment. That was his get back. And if that's it, it's a good redemption story. It's the year of redemption, except for LeBron. anyway, so playoffs, man. First, Boogie. I feel so bad for the brother, man. That Boogie is one of my favorite players in the NBA. Nick, I know you're new to the show, but
yeah, he's been saying this since like day one.
I've always
I liked my one of my favorite college teams was that Kentucky squad.
Yeah.
And I've literally tried to follow them as they transition to the NBA.
I was just trying to give you some background.
I'm not saying how far back he goes. Because every time you always make sure that you shout him out whenever you can. Whenever we get DeMarcus Cousins basically, you know who really fuck with DeMarcus if they call him Boogie or just like cut, like, you know what I'm saying? I could tell that you had that type of.
Yeah, it was on
that type of level.
It was on way level, but it was definitely like up there. Like, I was, man, we got video of me saying that he was better than Anthony Davis. Yep.
Nah, I mean, Skip said he should have went number one over John Wall.
He probably should.
I think he probably should have.
Yeah,
but he still ended up where he was supposed to be.
He'll still get a ring if they win.
Yeah, but you know, I was thinking about that. Like, if I was Boogie, I almost wouldn't want that ring.
Exactly.
No, I feel you.
Because obviously these guys were great before, and I knew I was going to add something different. And for me not to be there during that playoff run, it's kind of like I didn't earn it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because they would have had the best record without Boogie. But I think in the playoffs, in certain matchups, especially depending on whoever comes outside of the East, like, let's say if it was Philly and then you got Embiid, you know what I'm saying? Boogie's out here putting up 20 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you going to pay me these max dollars. But now it's kind of like, man, you know what I'm saying? I feel bad for him. However, I do think that he gave enough sample size for the rest of the league to know, like, okay, when he's healthy, he's still Boogie.
But yeah.
But this injury isn't as severe as the Achilles.
No, it's not. It's not. But because he's showing a consistency with injuries.
Here's the thing. I think the value for Boogie, if I was a GM, what I would offer him is near max dollars, but a very short term contract.
What does that mean?
So what that means is I'll pay him 20 to 25 million a year. But it's going to be like on a 3-year deal.
And you'll give him like a 75 3-year contract.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think that's fair. That protects the organization in case this is or becomes a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you'll be able to get out of the deal. You can become a trade package in year two.
Yep.
You know,
and the last year I know he probably wouldn't go for a team option.
Oh yeah,
I would give him an option. I'd give him a player option.
Okay, I was gonna say don't give him a team. That's like it.
Because a team option, obviously, you know what I'm saying. Well, not even that. It's just that at this point in Boogie's career, it's almost like a slap in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like a team option for a veteran is one of these guys that is, you know, glorified role player or something like that, championship role player. But at Boogie's level of play, I think you got to give him a player option, you know what I'm saying? But again, for me being a GM, I got to protect the team first, you know what I'm saying? And if he is going to be injury prone down the stretch, I can't keep you for more than 2 years.
Exactly. I'm more upset is because this was his free agent year, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just got back. He worked out hard enough to come back from an Achilles. And like, he's been getting hit with back to back. Like, damn, bro. Like, this shit is just, it sucks.
Unfortunate.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And now it's like, you don't know what you, obviously Golden State may not even, like, maybe if there was an opening for him to stay, now it's like, well, maybe we just move on from you. Cause you didn't, we're still predicting them to win the championship. So if they still win without you, it's just like, now it's even like,
yeah, but
like, where do you feel like, where do you fall in the NBA now? If you,
well, here's the thing. The reason why Golden State wouldn't be able to keep him is because, number one, I'm not 100% sure if they own KD's bird rights, but I know for damn sure they don't own DeMarcus's bird rights, meaning that they can't go over the salary cap to sign him. And when you already have Steph making the money he's making, obviously you own Klay Thompson's bird rights, so they're going to sign him, mm-hmm, and go over the salary cap. Draymond, I believe, is still under contract at a pretty decent rate. I don't know where you get the money from. Andre Iguodala still under contract.
Iggy might retire after this one.
He might, but he still got bounce. He still got juice in them legs, man.
Like, yeah, but he might want to go out. Like, I feel like he's more likely out to go out like Wade than like a Dirk, pretty much.
What's the difference?
Wade is like, Wade can still play another year,
mm-hmm,
or two and still be what Iggy is now. You know what I'm saying?
I still think Dirk can do that too. Dirk got old man game.
I don't know. Dirk is an afterthought right now.
But here's the thing: with the acquisition of talent that they have, he don't need to be.
But look. Okay, I'm just basically saying, look how where Dirk was and where he is. Like that's it. Look at Wade was and where Wade was still at like a mid level. He still was the best player on his team.
Of course,
Dirk. You can't say that for Dirk.
No. You can't say that for Dirk. But I think that the point I'm trying to make is that Dirk is still beyond efficient. You know what I'm saying? And you can't ask the same out of him. You know what I'm saying? Like you can of D-Wade. You could ask D-Wade in the playoffs or air, but we need two games, bro. I don't know if Dirk has that much in the tank, but Dirk still got a game in the playoffs where he will light you up. And the reason why I say that, and I say this about all great players, when you that great, it don't matter how old you are, don't matter how washed you are, you can summon that in a game. You can dig deep and be like, let me show you what my name is.
And I'm only saying all this is because my main point is I think with Cousins, you got to just really evaluate where you at your basketball career right now. And really, because his next move will define his legacy now moving forward. And he may have to take a pay. He may have to just, he may do like a Dak Prescott thing. Like he's going to probably most likely have to take a pay cut and swallow whatever he just hope for the best, but expect the worst.
But here's the thing though. I think Boogie, just because of his unfortunate situation, is not going to get what he's worth in totality, because there's question marks. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. All the more reason to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, but I also don't think that it's going to be like what it was this past summer either. I think he came in here. I think he proved that, you know, I'm good. I'm still Boogie. You know what I'm saying? I'm still versatile. I still got a jumper. I still good play the pick and roll game. I still get rebounds. I'm still a big body.
I was like, shit.
I still run the floor. Like he's proven all of the, because that's why people were doubting him. Can somebody at that physical size be as nimble as he once was off of an Achilles tear? A torn quad, it happens. It happens. I'm not saying that this is a normal injury. It happens all of the damn time. I'm not saying that. But this is something that he's going to be gone for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks and be back to 100.
And as I'm saying this, the Lakers still could sign him too.
Exactly.
Because they need the bodies.
Guys, you know, and I don't know where the hell I saw this. I want to say it was maybe on The Athletic or maybe ESPN, maybe somewhere in the comments somewhere. But I saw, you know, the Lakers, somebody, a writer was saying that they should go trade for Mike Conley. And who said that first? And you were like, oh, well, they get Mike Conley. That's nothing. But if you look at what Mike Conley has done.
But health-wise, that's what I'm saying. It's the same boat. If he was healthy, bro, I'll be right there with you. I think he's, but you know if what? He was healthy, he's a top 5 point guard.
But he's been relatively healthy this year. This is probably one of his most healthiest years.
And how many games was that?
I can't even tell you.
For me, for him, it's like, can you give me at least 65?
I was going to say 70. But either way, you know what I'm saying? I think that a Mike Conley with the Lakers, I think that Boogie, I still think that the Lakers may not get the top tier free agents.
They need to sell you. Ken, you're talking about redemption. They need to sell that that's what their brand is going to be for the next few years. Gotcha. With redemption, you can come here and redeem the Lakers. If you redeem the Lakers, you'll be buried in gold.
So since we're kind of shifting that way, if the Lakers get the number one pick, what do they do?
They're not getting the number one pick. So let's move on.
Let's get drunk
a
little bit.
That's too much. Hey, I can't drink that, but I can't hang with you on that,
man. I'm just saying. But at the end of the day, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because, you know, after the revision of the draft lottery, they have a better opportunity to get the number.
Yes, but I still think that the NBA is going to collude and give the Cavs the number one.
But you know what?
I'm telling you, if I see the Cavs as number one pick, I already it's of over. Here's the
thing. I think okay. So we're going to get back to the Laker thing, but I think that the team that most deserves the number one pick, just based off of tanking the right way. To me,
Phoenix?
Nah, Atlanta.
But you clearly are biased on that one.
I'm not. Look, I talk about Atlanta. I do talk about them like as a fan a lot, but I do take away my bias when I'm evaluating talent.
I don't know about that because you evaluated Cam Reddish, for a perfect role in Atlanta system.
Yes, for Atlanta.
For Atlanta. I haven't seen you talking about him in anywhere else. Because when I remember I said at the time where I thought Cam, like, damn, Cam may be as good as Zion. Maybe we, maybe the Knicks, maybe, you know, take him at that. If KD and that whole thing came together.
No, see, like, I like Cam in New York if KD and Kyrie don't go there. And you build around Dennis Smith Jr., Cam Reddish, and Mitchell Robinson. Like, I like that. I don't like him with a guy that he's basically compared to.
Well, I was just throwing it out as far as other teams, but you always, you're very specific when you like, this guy would be great with Atlanta because he could play off a trade and all that.
Because here's the thing, right? Like, we know that the Atlanta Hawks should have two top six picks, right? So if they have two top six picks, which top six picks look best with what they're doing? Because personally, I don't think Cam Reddish should get past Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? But if he does get past Atlanta, where else does he fit? I like him in Chicago, but I think Chicago would benefit more from a point guard than Cam Reddish right now. And the main reason why is because they traded for Otto Porter. So you got a lot of money tied up at that wing position. Obviously, Zach LaVine ain't going nowhere. You know, he re-signed too. You know what I'm saying? He's a top 10 NBA scorer, so he's not going nowhere. So he, by default, he don't fit in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Personnel wise, I think he does, but they got Otto Porter now. When I look at all of the other top teams, I don't see where it's like the perfect marriage. I like when I look at it and I take my bias out of it and I try to look and evaluate players and see where they would fit best. I don't know another place that Cam Reddish fits better than Atlanta. Now, Zion, I think he can go anywhere and play anywhere just because of the style of play that he plays. So going back to the Lakers, if they get the number one pick, I know that they, I think I saw something somewhere where they were talking about you trade, Kuzma, Ingram, and Zion for AD and Drew Holiday. And I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I think that's.
I thought you were gonna say something else because I was like, that may be the most lopsided trade I've ever seen in my life.
Know, to me, I think that's a mistake on both ends because I think you put LeBron and Zion. You remember how we were talking about Wade and Bron? Holy shit! When have you seen two guys that physical freaks that can both? Well, yeah, both in the open court handle the rock, make passes. I was gonna say
they
finish.
They're the old and young version of each other.
Of each other. You know what I'm saying? So to me, and if I'm the Lakers, who sell more tickets right now today? Zion.
Boy.
Zion.
You'll get season tickets over just his name alone.
Just like
they
that.
Ain't gonna ask, like, we don't give a damn if you got a GM or a president. We'll come if you just got a empty court and them two.
Yep. And I think that, you know, if you keep him, obviously you got Alonzo as your starting point guard. Yo, that's a problem because you got a pass first guy that just want to get up there. You got two guys like that? Ooh. But everybody else on that roster got to be able to shoot a three.
While we're on the Lakers, so now we have a little bit more information about what happened with Magic. So apparently, in addition to at least what's being reported, that he wanted to fire Pelinka too, and Jeannie Buss wasn't having it. In addition to Luke Walton, she was okay with Luke Walton, but she wasn't okay with Pelinka being fired, and that led him to stepping down in what I still believe was a rather impulsive decision. I don't think he planned for that at all, but I think he also felt like, if you're not going to let me do it my way, then I don't need to be here. And if you get trust him more than me because of the Kobe connection, obviously, then I'm out. And, you know, good luck, you know. So
that's my takeaway from that situation was, at first it was just confusion, like everyone else. Like, I didn't know what the hell went on. You would think out of everybody, Magic the only one that's going to hold it down. And he the first one to be like, that video that come out with him shaking his head. I'm not going. Yeah. It's like, that just speaks for itself. I was talking to a coworker about it because after I sat with it, I was kind of getting pissed at Magic because it's like, bruh, you supposed to be Mr. Laker himself. And you over here, not only are you quitting on the job, you're quitting before the season and didn't even give it a legit full season.
Mm-hmm.
This was the year that you were supposed to get free agents as far as this summer. And then on top of that, you don't even tell your Jeannie, your sister. You don't even tell her, give her a heads up. You literally go to the vultures first. Like, so then I was talking to my coworker. He was like, you got to think about it. Because I was wondering, like, why are these media pundits not really attacking Magic? Like, what's going on? He was like, think about it. Magic, first of all, people grew up with Magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's for one. Magic has been great with the media as a player and even at, you know, post player. And then three is like, he has transcended basketball so much, sports and so much that you can't really hold this against him. Now you have an argument to make, but because he's bigger than basketball, it just makes sense that this was going to happen. So when he said that, I really had to sit back and think like, okay, I get it now. I'm still pissed. From just being I put myself in the shoes of a Lakers fan and thinking like, how the hell did this turn into a dumpster fire in 2 years?
It was already a dumpster fire, and I think that's what people have been missing.
Exactly.
But it's now cemented now.
No. What it is that it was already cemented as soon as they gave Kobe the contract and before.
Mm-hmm.
But what LeBron has done is he's brought attention to it.
Exactly.
That's all that's happening.
But we can't blame. Yes. And I've blamed LeBron a lot this season.
Oh, I'm not blaming him for it.
But I'm just saying, like, but that's still because of, that's the LeBron effect. Whether yes, you want to, it whether it's good or bad, yep. It's mm-hmm. because of LeBron. And I have to give LeBron a lot of praise for this season because.
Oh, not it's, praise.
Exactly.
Mr. Disrespect.
I'm going
back on his
Ken, word. What do I always say? With new information, what has new decisions come about with new information? I did not know how dysfunctional internally this team was. Jeannie has been signing. Jeannie's a bust. If she ain't a bust, she a bust. Like, she only signs her friends and they're in, not only not qualified, but not committed. Are you serious? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Luke, I don't,
and you know,
there's so many things that I can say about this organization now that I never thought I would say about the Lakers ever.
They're on the Knicks level.
They're on the Knicks and that's crazy because they're the biggest brand in basketball.
And I think that's partly the reason why Magic didn't go to Jeannie, because he didn't want to be talked out of his decision. Because look, like you said, Magic is the ultimate Laker guy. And I think that Jeannie, you know, he's known Jeannie his whole life,
mm-hmm.
his whole life. Ever since Magic left Michigan State, he's known the Buss family. That's like a sister to him. I think that if anybody could have convinced him of jumping off of that ledge of come back and be VP of basketball operations, it would have been Jeannie Buss. And I don't think he wanted any parts of that.
But as a 60-year-old man who's done so many good business deals mm-hmm. and ventures, who's held a lot of key executive board positions for mm-hmm. different organizations, mm-hmm. don't you have a self-awareness of yourself to know that, you know what, I appreciate the offer, but My role is best as an ambassador. That's what I do best. I bring people together. I set things up. Like Colin Cowherd.
For him to say to her no when yes, she tried to?
Because it's like, I can help. I can be a consultant. You can call me up anytime. You have my number. You can call me up about anything.
But I know I can't be dedicated.
This is a dedicated position. This is why I'm coming. I'm not coming at players anymore. Moving forward, I'm coming at executives now because these executives are the reason why you mentioned it earlier to do things the right way, to create an environment of success. It starts from the top. When you see all the stuff that Jeannie has lacked as far as decision making skills and as far as self-awareness, it gets to the point where like, how can this be LeBron's fault for real?
But wait, hold on. But let's be honest. Okay. So let's not jump all over Jeannie's back, because first of all, when the Busses, the kid Busses took over the franchise, it was the brother. Well, I can't remember his name.
Jim
Buss, right? He was running it with Mitch Kupchak.
Mm-hmm.
They made a lot of bad decisions, right? Like, remember, they selected Mike D'Antoni in the ninth hour when they were talking to Phil Jackson the whole time. Mm-hmm. And what was the reason why they didn't go with Phil Jackson? Because of his ties to Genie. And Jim didn't want to lose that type of power with the Laker organization. So in the ninth hour, they went D'Antoni, which was the ultimate screw up because of the way that the roster was presently constructed. If you remember that roster, they had Andrew Bynum, big. Paul Gasol, big. They still have Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Was that the year that they went with Steve Nash, or Steve Nash came after that?
That was in that regime.
It was in the regime, but he came after that. You know what I'm saying? The way that team was constructed, and I say it, I know I said it then. I don't know if we was doing the podcast back then. However, I didn't have a major issue with D'Antoni. I had a major issue with the roster in D'Antoni. If he was going to do that, you know who was available at the time? Josh Smith. That's a D'Antoni type of guy. Running gun, small foot.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Right? So my thing is, as head of basketball operations and basketball decisions, you gotta make basketball decisions. And Jim and Mitch weren't making the best basketball decisions when you gave Kobe that lifetime contract. Not saying that you don't break him off. You break him off, but you don't pay him like he LeBron in the 16th year. LeBron didn't even, like, come on. You know,
coming off injuries.
Coming off injuries, right? Like, to me, when you see that situation, I got to give Genie a lot of credit to get rid of that regime. Bye-bye, Mitch.
My thing is, those decisions were, to me, if I can make a decision if I make decisions as well as you do, that's a problem. Because you're supposed to be the executive. You're supposed to see things before I even see them as a fan. That's my main. I have a high standard for these execs because they get paid more consistently. BS work.
But it's not BS work.
What Genie's done isn't BS?
No. Because first of all, these moves here are her first moves as an executive, right? The first move was getting rid of Mitch Kupchak
and her brother.
And that's not easy to do. Number one, because that's your damn brother.
It's not easy to do, but it was the obvious thing to do.
I understand that, but look, man.
When
your late father says, son, you run basketball operations, daughter, you run everything else. That is a tough decision to get rid of your brother. It is 100%. After that, what was the next move? They hired Luke Walton, right? Mm-hmm. What was the move after that? You hire Rob Pelinka, which you obviously have an extremely close relationship with, because you gave that man, he made money off of that Kobe contract, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's been making money off of all Kobe's contracts.
Right? So then, what else do you do on top of that? You hire Magic Johnson. At the time, were we saying that Jimmy Buss was making the wrong decision?
Yes. There was a lot of people that said, and I wasn't here at the time, but I would have said it too. There was a lot of people that said, Magic Johnson is not going to be committed. Johnson is not qualified.
There was a lot of people, the media pundits, the majority of them, including myself.
You got to look outside of ESPN.
No. I watch a lot of basketball people. You know what I'm saying? Quote unquote. A lot of people were saying that this was a overall good move.
They questioned the qualifications, but they liked the move regardless.
Exactly. Because it was better than Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss. It was a new regime. And like you said, Magic Johnson transcends sports. So who more credible than Magic to bring it back?
And my thing is, you could put cheese on a shit sandwich, it ain't gonna make it taste that much better. The situation they had was bad, but adding all those people that she hired were Luke Walton, forgettable. Rob Pelinka, forgettable. No, now Magic Johnson, uncommitted. Those are not good decisions.
You know, you're living in the moment.
Hindsight 2020.
Exactly. How is it hindsight 2020?
Because Nick, listen. When they hired Luke Walton came off of a season where he coached more than half of the games for those Golden State Warriors. Just peep. He coached more than half of those games for them Golden State Warriors. He had to make decisions. Granted, that team is so well oiled, they can plug me in right now and I can win 50 games. It is what it is. However, let's not, you know what I'm saying, like, chastise him for what he inherited. And he was part of the reason, because let's be honest, he was part of that original Steve Kerr assistant coaching staff. It wasn't like he just came in 1 year and then he was out the next. He's been there to lay the foundation. Why? Because he also was coached by Phil Jackson. He also understood what Steve Kerr wanted to do, right? So we have to give Luke Walton some credit in building what we know is the Golden State Warriors. So he ate off of those laurels. It is what it is, right? He was the hottest young coach at the time. Yes or no? And the Lakers happened to land him. That is a good job at the time. Then follow that up with Rob Pelinka, somebody in the organization that you know and trust because you've done multiple business with this man. That's a good move at the time. Magic Johnson has been a lifelong Laker. His bleeds purple and gold. Great PR move. And like you said, a peeper joiner move at the time. The shit didn't work out as planned.
And my thing is, and I wish I was on this podcast at the time, because I would have told him, I would have said how much I disagree with all that. First of all, you mentioned it with Luke Walton. Andre Iguodala was drawing up damn plays for that team, and they was winning games and going to the finals and all. No, you don't have to coach that team. Steve Kerr doesn't have to do that much. He just has to manage personalities because that team is so talented. They can win games easily on their own. So if I don't give, I respect Steve Kerr because he's doing it, but outside of that, I don't respect none of that staff for real because of the the talent more than I respect the staff.
So first of all, that means that you're highly disrespecting Ron Adams. And you know how long Ron Adams been in the league, and he's the architect and blueprint for a lot of teams that play well. So don't go there because now you're starting to sound like somebody that doesn't understand the nature of what basketball truly is. Because if you're starting to disrespect assistant coaches that make a career being assistant coaches, bro, you're being highly
I'm saying I'm not giving credit that much credit
you
to
have
the
two because look, just because
the Warriors were not the Warriors in the very beginning,
they've went through a lot of changes, so we don't know all the changes to accredit what coach to. Am I right? Because there was a Mark Jackson staff that's not there anymore that was critical to that development.
And when that staff was gone, and they brought in Kerr and brought in Kerr's people, they became the Warriors.
They were already on their way to becoming the Warriors. They didn't become the dominant Warriors until the Steve Kerr era. I give you that.
So what that means is that Steve Kerr and his architects of assistant coaches brought that level of dominance to that
team. Do you think Luke Walton was a key part of that?
Yes.
Yeah, I
disagree.
No,
I disagree.
And you know why I know you're 100% wrong?
Why is that?
Because, look, I rarely pay for stuff. Me and Kim, we be on there with certain things, right? Certain things I pay for. I wasn't going to pay for the Athletic subscription, but what drew me in was an article. I couldn't tell you who wrote it, but it's an article that has been updated over 6-7 years, ever since they drafted Steph Curry, right? And that's what brought me in. I was watching some random stuff and I'm like, oh snap, this is a dope ass article. And the article, he lists the top 50 things that has happened with the Golden State Warriors, every event, and he lists them in order of importance. For the last 5 years, he just updated it. But for the last 5 years, the number one thing that was the most important in creating the Golden State Warriors in this writer's eyes was the hiring of Jerry West. Just this past year, he made number one thing was drafting Steph Curry. And he goes on, hiring Steve Kerr and what they did and what that meant, right? And when he got to the Steve Kerr portion of this top 50 list, he talked about the transition of Mark Jackson in the ownership. They even talked about the ownership, where that ranks in the top 50. Cause obviously Joe LaCobb
and Bob Myers were new.
Bob Myers, that was big for the Golden State Warriors moving forward past the Monte Ellis and Don Nelson years. You know what I'm saying? So when it got to the Mark Jackson and the Steve Kerr, nuts and bolts of things, they knew that they needed somebody that was brash, somebody that was going to instill confidence into this young core. And that was Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson taught these guys how to be number one professionals, number two, to carry your confidence with a big stick because you guys are great. He instilled that into him. But guess what happened? At some point in time, those type of loud coaches, they're just too damn loud.
Yeah, he bumped. He had organizational issues with exactly. Management.
No, I get him. That. My well, thing. Oh, hold on. Go ahead. Finish.
So with Steve Kerr, he's a little brash now because he got confidence because they're winning. But he's not that loud organizationally. Steve Kerr has played almost every side of the angle when it comes to basketball. He's been a GM. He's been a scout. He's been now a head coach. You know what I'm saying? He was taught by Popovich, Phil Jackson, played with Michael Jordan, played with Tim. The level of he put together the 7 second Phoenix team. People don't give him credit for that, right? He's seen a lot. So with him coming on board, he handpicked every single assistant. Luke Walton was part of that original assistant.
And I'm saying, in my personal evaluation, and we could disagree on this, which clearly we do. Mm-hmm. I don't think Luke Walton is that great of a coach or that good of a coach to help ignite whatever's in Golden State right now. And two, with Rob Pelinka, again, when you're picking people in these specific positions, you just rattled off Steve Kerr and why he was a phenomenal candidate for head coach. Can we say the same thing of Rob Pelinka outside of Kobe Bryant and his legacy?
But look, here's the thing.
How is he equipped to judge and do the work?
But that's the reason why you hired Magic Johnson. Because
when has Magic Johnson done the work?
But listen. Listen, so you kind of split the role, right? That's, because not every team has a president of basketball operations. Not every team operates like that, right? The GM sometimes wears both of those hats. The reason why you hire Pelinka is to negotiate because what has been his job his entire career?
Yeah.
A negotiator.
But hold on.
And then what has Magic Johnson been his entire career? You said it, a joiner of people. So let Pelinka handle the numbers and handle all of that stuff and let Magic do the talking in the room. Let Magic handle the trades. Pelinka's the numbers guy.
Yeah, that's the way it was supposed to work. Magic was going to be the face. Pelinka was going to do but those all
guys,
the work.
Those guys did not get along at all. Ooh. So that was Rob Pelinka and Magic. Did he not mention backstabbing?
They started bumping heads.
But again, we are looking at it right now at the time.
But to me, if Genie knows these people so well, you know that who can work well with others and you still decide to put these two people together. Hey, you still decide to hire people who are inexperienced and you know this is an important time in your franchise history.
But you know what though? Sometimes, Nick, you need fresh blood because don't we talk
about... What's fresh about Magic Johnson?
Listen. Don't we talk about all the time, especially in the NFL, that all of these quarterbacks, these GMs, all of these guys continue to get regurgitated. Mm-hmm. And they are mediocre at best. Sometimes you got to take a flyer. Sometimes people like a Pete Carroll wasn't ready, went back to college, dominated, and came back, and now you don't have to question nothing. And all I'm saying is that the Lakers been down the path of hiring the Byron Scotts, of hiring the other old Lakers, of hiring the known name. They've been down that road, Nick. Sometimes as a brash new owner that's now taking reins over the organization, you got to make moves that are unconventional. Sometimes they backfire. Sometimes like LaCobb and Pete Myers and what Golden State is doing, it works.
Bob Myers was new to the organization. And when they drafted Draymond Green, I don't think they had any NBA experience.
Nope.
Like that. And they came in with a whole fresh perspective because I think they came from the Silicon Valley tech industry. So their approach to running an organization was along those lines and it was different. Same thing with Maury in Houston, where they brought an analytical approach.
Sam Hinkie with Philly.
But my thing is I'm not opposed to different. I just want thoroughness. I want consistency. There was no thoroughness in her hirings.
Until there's something to judge.
Because there's certain things that you don't need to really judge to know it's not going to work out.
I don't know, man. Like,
look. All I know is this. A lot of people criticize the crap out of Sam Hinkie. I was one of the few saying, bruh, just trust me. Where his mind is going to work. And what happened?
I was one.
He was one. And you got two generational guys. Two. You know what I'm saying? You drafted two generational guys. He wasn't there long enough to see the process. How many people questioned Daryl Morey?
Oh, what about Elton Brand? He wasn't.
Elton Brand!
that?
He's brand new on the job.
Brand new. I have major and questions.
This season is still up for grabs, depending on how
he did his job.
He's made some great moves.
He did his job.
He's made some great moves, but it's still not.
But now it's on Brett Brown. It's not on him.
No, it's not. It's not
every ingredient.
No, it's not on him. It's not on him.
But here's the thing.
But they're still going to blame him regardless of if this goes bad.
I wasn't on board with Luke Walton at all. V4 and I, we debated that.
I just said you got to give him 2 years.
Before, he said, give the brother time.
Yeah. And eventually I said, nah, he not the guy.
But he did improve. He didn't have a lot to work with. We got to be honest there. Coming from a team, like you said, that was a machine in Golden State, to a team like the Lakers, he didn't have a lot to work with. They were starting new. He improved the wins every year. So he was getting there. LeBron just changed things. Pelinka was an unknown, but Magic Johnson, I understood. He's a very successful businessman. It was supposed to work. But I think when LeBron got there, things sped up. Mm-hmm. And Magic, with his basketball mind, recognized the flaws on the Lakers. And this is where your criticism of Jeannie Buss comes into play, because she should have listened to Magic and got rid of Pelinka and Luke Walton, like he said, because they only got 3 years left. And Magic was like, Luke Walton ain't it. These assistants ain't it. I told him to get rid of the assistants. He didn't do it. They all out of here. Pelinka ain't it either. We need to get him up out of here too, if you plan on doing something with the organization. She didn't make the decision. So Magic was like, yeah, I'm out. Magic made the right decision because he sees that this thing is not going to work with the people that are in place now making these decisions.
And I want my name attached to it.
And he didn't want to be there anymore.
And he said, and this is what I said last week or whatever last week that I was on, that Magic was a man of his word. He literally said,
if
I'm not the guy that's going to bring a championship and bring us back, I'll step down. No problems, no questions asked. But what did he do?
But his time was, and Walton were going to prevent him from doing that.
But his timetable was the summertime. So for me, it's like, at least give them some, like, at least Phil Jackson gave the Knicks Porzingis. That's why I keep bringing up, like, for all the bad stuff he did. Bron was gonna be there regardless, man.
But
at this point, from what we know,
because here's the thing, it do you think that those negotiations would have went different if Jeannie and Luke Walton went there versus Magic?
He ain't listening to Luke Walton. He don't listen to Luke Walton.
We all know how LeBron is.
All I'm saying is that maybe LeBron was gonna go there anyway, but having Magic there more so cemented that decision. You know what I'm saying? And now the Lakers are going to find themselves in a very peculiar situation. And I don't know how they're going to necessarily dig themselves out of it.
Is that situation as far as what do we do with LeBron moving forward?
No, because I think that any great organization, it has to look beyond the LeBron years. Because this is the thing that I love about NBA. Right. Being a GM is that you have to look through multiple windows. It's not just the LeBron years. It's what do we do past LeBron? How do we draft? And that's the reason why I said that if I get the number one pick, I'm not giving that up. Why? What are we doing past the next 3 years of LeBron? Because LeBron, it's not like LeBron is in year 7 or 8. Because if he's in year 7 or 8, yes, I'm trading that number one pick. I'm getting AD. I'm getting whatever else I can get. But this is year 16 LeBron. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you keep Rob Pelinka, and obviously I don't have the sources, but the people that I watch on TV and shit that have the sources, they say that Pelinka's not liked across the league. And I understand why, when you are an agent and you know what I'm saying? Like, and you have multiple clients, and especially you got somebody like Kobe, certain GMs ain't gonna like you.
And I think Magic knew that too. Which is why he wanted to get rid of him, because it's probably hampering them from being able to make moves. You also heard that Pelinka was the one that actually got the tampering charge, and he just took the hit for it. He did, his role was be the face, and he was going to be the face for it. So it's going to be interesting to see, man. I hate that Magic left, because I wanted to see him finish the job. And I feel like I was robbed of the Magic LeBron years.
Yep.
Cause I think, with their basketball IQ and their championship minds, they could have built something special. For Jeannie Buss and this to side with Rob Pelinka over Magic Johnson, I don't know how I feel about that, and we'll see where it goes from here.
You know what it is, Ken? Envision this. Rob Pelinka speaks Jeannie Buss language. She don't speak magic language.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't understand basketball at the level that LeBron and, you know, Magic understand basketball, but she understand them numbers. You know what I'm saying? So when they're having conversations and Rob Pelinka is trying to sell her on something, he knows how to sell her better than Magic would.
It's different taking a call from Magic Johnson than it is from Rob Pelinka.
1,000%.
If you Klay Thompson, if you 1,000%. Kevin Durant, what are you going to look when Rob Pelinka on the line for you? I don't know. I want to talk to him.
Exactly. And then, you know, I think that this is going to play a major key in free agents. I put it to you like this, man. Rob Pelinka this offseason is going to earn his keep, or he's going to get out of there. Because look, first of all, you got to make this is a big draft decision right now, mm-hmm. right? Especially depending on wherever they fall. They fall number one. This is going to be huge. Do you keep it? Do you trade it? What do you get in return for it? You know, if you do trade it, do you draft Zion? What if he so boldly, because, and I don't know if y'all seen this, what Jerry West said about the draft. He said, John Morant's the guy. He said he's the best guy. He's not even close. And that's from the GOAT.
And I think we kind of touched on it a little bit about who should go number one depending on what team.
But is it
a conversation as far as who should go number one in general?
I think it is.
Because I was telling you, remember, I said mm-hmm. I think Philly should trade Ben Simmons for John Morant. And now you're talking about trading, you know, not even trade, but now you're talking about Zion not even being the best player in the draft.
That's Jerry West.
FIFO
still taking Zion.
And if you want to talk to FIFO GM or Jerry West GM, I'm good.
I feel you. And you know what? And obviously the man has had, he's the best GM that I've ever seen. In the era that I've watched basketball, he's by far the best GM. So if he says something, it holds hella weight to me. But at the same time, I know what my eyes tell me, and I know how I would want to build a basketball team. And I think, again, this is where Pelinka has to earn his keep, because this is an extremely critical summer for the Lakers.
Nick, if you want to, because none of this is new, but go look at the last year that Shaq and Kobe played and just look at some of the things that came out after that. That team was just as much.
Was that the Detroit Pistons finals run?
Yep. Look at the things that were said. Kobe was going to leave. Kobe actually told one of the Lakers owners on the sideline to come get him. Man, if you want drama, if Twitter was around and the media was the way they are today, it would be juicy. So the Lakers have always been.
It's always been drama.
Yeah, dysfunctional.
But let's be honest. Especially in basketball, right? Like, especially in basketball. A lot of these star players are divas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we talking to the superstar, the highest tier, you talking about Shaq that for so long dominated the league, and not just on the basketball court, in terms of personality, boisterous, movies, albums, this, that, and the third. You know what I'm saying? And then you have a guy that's so mercurial like Kobe that's saying, bro, you can't be great by doing all of this stuff. You got to be in the gym. You got to be in shape. You got to do this. You got to do Shaq. Nigga, I'm 7'3" something. Get the fuck out of here. So that naturally caused drama. You know what I'm saying? So the best teams have drama, and the best coaches, GMs, owners, they manage it because that's their job. It's not the job of the best player to keep the peace. It is my job to incite reactions and emotions because I'm trying to win and you're not helping me win. And I'm going to let you know that you're not helping me.
Yeah.
Win.
Look at what Phil Jackson got him to the finals, and look at Kerr with all the drama they've had to deal with, that they somehow managed to keep in the locker room. But, anyway, let's go. Any thoughts on that? The Warriors last night?
I was here, editing the podcast, for Black Korea. So go check that out. Yeah, I haven't heard yet. But so I had it in the background, so I heard, and you know, I would stand up and see, and when the Clippers were down, I mean, it's over. You know, Steph had a crazy first half. I was just like, okay. So, you know, I didn't pay no attention. And then, you know, in the morning I wake up and I'm like, damn, they, like, I think at the worst they were down like 31.
31.
And then they came back to the
in the Clippers in the middle of the third, down by 31.
Like so I only have one question.
KD.
No. So how mediocre is Doc?
I knew he was going to bring that up. Because, I knew that was going to come up.
Because damn, bro. Because
they got one game.
No, they're supposed to get swept. Come on now.
31, and not only that,
you got two rookies starting, bro.
They've done this multiple times this season. They've been down 28 and came back and won, and been down 25 and came back and won.
I'm not moving my position on Doc. Unless they win the series.
That's fine. However,
are they going to win the series?
How much credit you give Doc?
Are they going to win the series?
31 points in the playoffs.
Nobody's going to win a series against Golden State.
Okay.
But they're not supposed to even win a game.
Nah.
Why are you talking about two rookies? You traded away your best player. Who is that? Because damn sure ain't Danilo Gallinari. It damn sure, I can't even mention that they started small forward rookie name that they got from the trade.
Shamet.
No. Shamet's the two. The I can't even say his name, bro.
I don't even know half
this. It's hyphenate.
Outside of Lou Williams. Which is not the
point guard.
Nah, man. He's a three man. He's their leading scorer now.
He is?
Yeah, man.
For the Clippers?
Yeah, man.
I thought Lou got to be the leading scorer.
In the starting line. In the starting line, he's their leading scorer. What the hell is his name? Right.
Nonetheless, I'm not moving my position on Doc.
That's the point guard. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, yeah, he is the point guard. So I'll take that back.
Yeah, he's the rookie.
Him and Shamet. So, bruh.
I'm not moving.
Look, and you can maintain your stance. All I'm saying is, how, Ken? How? It ain't the player.
They call him slipping.
Hey, but Kerr's a champion. So, you know.
So is Doc.
That's what we've been trying to tell you.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, just because that don't mean you can't. To me, it's like, Doc is mediocre because he's won with immense talent, but he also has lost with immense talent, and he should have probably won more than he lost
with injuries. But go ahead,
he should have won more than he lost, but he lost.
Let me ask you something, Nick, and if you say otherwise,
he lost in the worst way.
Basketball is a game of what?
It's a game of coaching.
Playoff basketball. I think that's secondary, but the primary
matchups.
And when you look at that series, right, the Lakers series versus the Boston series, who was the Lakers starting center?
Oh, Andrew Bynum.
And who got hurt for Boston?
Kendrick Perkins.
You talking about a 2010 guy and Kendrick Perkins.
Those are not the series that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 2-3-1 series. You can't explain that to me. You can't explain. Just like we can't explain this Warriors losing to the Clippers. You can't explain those two series to me.
I'm going to tell you like this. I understand that injuries are a part of it. And you can go back and see everything that I said. That those Clipper teams were fatally flawed because once CP came out the game, they didn't.
Where do you rank CP3?
Yeah, at his position or just overall in time?
At his position overall, yeah. Mediocre too? Because he was on those teams.
He's not as great as everybody says he is, in my opinion. He ain't. I'm going to say that.
Look. We need a whole new segment just called Highly Disrespectful, dog.
Where do you rank, bro? I didn't even say where I ranked. I just said I don't see him as great as everybody else see him as.
I think in today's NBA, he's still top five. If you put him 6 or 7, I give you that. He's older. But in his prime, top two. Overall, for his career, top 10 easy.
I was going to say he was top 10, but I'm not saying he's top as far as all time. I'm not saying he's top 5 in that top 10. He's bottom 10. He's bottom 5. But the way everybody else talk, but the way his persona is, he's top 3.
But at that time,
back in the day, he was the
best point guard in the
back
league.
In the day. Yeah, he was. He
on
had, a,
on that same team you're talking about.
He's the best point guard in the NBA at that time.
With the Clippers?
Yes. That lost 3-1.
Yes.
So if you're going to hold Doc account, if you're going to hold Doc to that same level of criticism and weight.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason. That's the same reason why I said I don't consider him as great as everyone say he is.
But here's
the because thing, he was a part of those years, too.
So some of that context, though, Ken, because the Clippers always finished top three. Right. In those Doc, CP3, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan years. But again, y'all can go back. That team was fatally flawed because they never had another wing player to take any type of pressure off of CP. CP had to score. CP had to create. CP had to do damn near everything. Right. When you look at some of the more balanced teams, right, that have a big three kind of like that. If you look at, like, let's say, Golden State, right, they, Steph, and I love Steph, right? Steph is arguably the best point guard in the NBA right now, right? If you take away Klay Thompson, Steph is still going to be great. He's still going to get his numbers. They're still going to be a top three Western Conference team. They don't win a championship. They just don't. He gets hurt, it's a wrap. They don't win if they don't have Klay. CP never had another wing player. It doesn't have to be a two, doesn't have to be a three. But since they had J.J. Redick, that means that it had to be the three man. They didn't have a Rudy Gay. They didn't have a Paul George. They needed somebody like that. Jimmy Butler. You know, they needed somebody that can go get his own buckets when the chips was down. I don't need CP to create for me. I can go get mine. I can play off of CP, or they can just give me mine and I go one-on-one from the perimeter. Blake Griffin didn't have that type of game that he has now. He didn't have no pull-up jump shot game. He had no three-point game. He didn't have that then. So he was reliant. Big men are always reliant on guards to get him the ball. That entire team was relying upon CP3 and Doc. That doesn't spell championship. They couldn't get over the hump because they were fatally flawed. I cannot blame 100% Doc, even though he was a GM. He tried several moves. He traded for a whole bunch of people. He got Wesley Johnson. He knew what the flaw was. He couldn't get over the hump.
And maybe he was spread thin trying to do two jobs at once.
Well, he asked for that. Well. He asked for that.
But for the first couple of years, he did an amazing job. He just could financially. And we know that. Look, man, I'm not training.
And then he paid his son.
He did pay his son. But that's
nepotism.
That's a little different. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the contracts that he had and where the money was tied up in, he couldn't get over the hump. And then, obviously, being top three, you weren't going to draft the guy.
And my thing is, again, can you explain how he got a game on Golden State, at Golden State, with his current roster, and then say that he couldn't coach that team past a 3-1 lead? You can't tell me his best guys
every year in the playoffs got hurt.
Then why does he have an AC with just Lou Williams and the YMCA squad?
But he's deep, though. He got bodies.
He don't have good body. You just said matchups.
No, I feel you.
You got Bev on KD.
No, I feel. But look. Let's be honest.
That's not a good matchup.
No, it is. It's a Rivers matchup.
Yes, it is.
No, wait. Let me just chop him down.
No, go ahead.
Him down. When
is that gonna win them the series?
Look, no, he don't have the talent.
Okay, so then it's not a good matchup.
It's an excellent matchup because if you go back and watch the Clippers, right, the same Clippers that you were talking about, and when they played OKC, who used to guard KD and shut him down?
CP3.
He didn't shut down KD. KD got his numbers. KD got his numbers. You said shut down.
What were you watching?
I'm running off the plug twice. KD couldn't do jack with CP on him, bruh. Jack,
I watched that series. He was not shut down.
He shut him down.
He was not
if
shut.
You go back and
no one has ever shut down KD.
If you go watch the percentages that KD shot against CP, it was the best defender on KD by far, and every playoff series in the West that year. CP had his number, bro.
All I'm saying is, Doc Rivers gonna get knocked out of the first round,
as he should. And he should have got swept.
Gentleman sweep, however you want it, it's going to happen.
No!
It's going to happen.
Look.
Everything you're saying is not going to make me move my point because he's still going to be,
and
he still should have won more than he lost, like I said. Nah. And you can't explain why he didn't take those certain teams.
I've already
further.
Explained it to you.
No, you gave me.
If you don't want to accept it, that's on you.
No.
If I'm giving you fact, I'm giving you, bruh. Look,
do you know what mediocre is? That means you're not terrible, but you're not great. Is he great? Is he a great coach?
Yes. I don't even have to think about that.
Yeah.
We just gonna have to agree to disagree on this one. Cause I don't think he's a great coach.
That's fine.
Can you ask Kenyon Martin? He was with them Clippers them days too.
All I know is name me another coach to do what he's doing right now with these Clippers. Name me another coach in the NBA right now.
Shoot, if what's his name? Dwayne Casey get one game on the Bucks. Hey, ain't that the same thing without Blake Griffin? Speaking of that, we gotta get into these NBA series. Well, we already started with Golden State and Clippers. You wanna go Brooklyn, Philly?
That first game, I ain't gonna lie, I was a little shocked. I I was a little disappointed with Philly.
I was too.
Because you can't come out game one that flat.
Because I told y'all I said I might see this as an upset with the Nets. And y'all was laughing, but and then that game one happened.
Everything went right for Brooklyn. They played harder. They played together. They have nothing to lose. Philly probably was a little arrogant. Tobias Harris disappeared for whatever reason.
Ben Simmons
was trash that game. And they hit threes in Brooklyn Nets. Normally, they're not really a 3-point shooting team.
Not to that degree.
Yeah, not on that level. Degree. Just like they were last night, the way they were hitting threes in the first half. That's not them. That's not them. And when we saw what happened, it ran out. Apparently, Brett Brown cussed everybody out that they've never seen before. So I think that lit a fire in their tail. And, you know, I think we don't expect – if any series we expected to be a sweep was probably – Golden State, mm-hmm. the Clippers. But most of these we expect to at least go five, six. Yeah. So they were going to get one. It was just depending on where we were going to get.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be game one. Brooklyn is a good team.
Yeah, they are.
They're a good team. They're well put together. I don't know who that GM is, but
Sean Marks.
He's taking them out of the ashes of that Boston trade.
He is. And that first move was getting D'Angelo Russell. And remember when they traded for him, Ken, I was very high on it because I said that if you don't have draft picks, then you gotta trade for players that were drafted high. You know what I'm saying? And develop them. And that's what they've done.
And that was part of their plan. He said that they were going to try to develop him and surround him with the right people. Mm-hmm. And they did it.
And they've done that. And they drafted well.
You know Caris LeVert, they got him because of an injury. So he slipped.
Jared Allen.
They drafted him. Jared Allen.
You know what I'm saying? So, who's the white boy?
Joe the Plumber.
Yep. Him.
Joe Harris. They gave it revitalized his career. Yep. Spencer Dinwiddie, they just found and developed him.
Yep.
And he can play.
So Brooklyn is on the up and up. They still not ready though to compete.
No,
give them one more mango season. Give them maybe one more.
They need one more star.
I put it to you like this. Mess around and go get KD. They might be the best.
You know
what
they might be. You funny mention that because KD said he's going to New York. He hasn't officially said what team in New York.
Of course.
And right now, Brooklyn, no one would really bat an eye if he said, I'm going to Brooklyn instead of the Knicks because they're already in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He already done a move like this before by going to go to state. So.
I don't know what Brooklyn's salary cap looks like. I don't know if they could sign one or two major stars, but if they could sign two and they get them like a Jimmy,
they might
Butler
be able to sign two. I think.
And KD, oh my God, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a major problem. But you know, obviously Philly bounced back and had a record game, and that's what you're supposed to do, and that's the reason why I'm not worried about Philly.
It's home court. You got to do that.
Brooklyn may have won their last game.
May.
And that's a big, it's all caps, M-A-Y. They may have won their last game, but it all comes down to Philly's mentality. They have to come out like champions.
Yes.
Champions can get smacked, but they can't get punched. And they got smacked that first game. And what they came back with a haymaker. And in every other game, the next three games need to be haymakers.
Game three is big for both teams. Because I agree, because game one, you could clearly see Philly was distracted. The cell phone alone, you know what I'm saying?
They were.
So, but Brooklyn, at this point, they know that they cannot, you know, they got to get them while they got them.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you can't, obviously, talent for talent, you just can't match up.
No, you can't.
You have to outwork them. You got to basically dot your I's, cross your T's, all that, in order to even compete with this team. And game three will show that. Basically, it's their first game on their home court in a long time in the playoffs.
So we'll see.
And that first trade for Philly is paying dividends right now, ain't it?
Wait, which one? Oh, yeah, Jimmy.
Yep,
Jimmy.
This is why you get Jimmy.
Yeah, it is.
It was a little during the regular season, but this.
But you see how they all made adjustments to the games too in game two, because Jimmy was more of a passer, I think, and Embiid did something that he should have. He played with more energy, and he also played to get back to the basket. I think he was in the back. He cannot, to me. I think he averages what, 4 threes a game.
Four attempts.
It's too much. He need to cut down to like two.
2.5, maybe 3, depending on the matchup.
He need to be, but the thing is, maybe they have him stretched out that far for health reasons.
And also for Ben.
I still have some concerns. Tobias did bounce back. So I hope he found his playoff sea legs. We'll see in game 3. Cause he was very tentative. So if he has his confidence back, yeah, they'll probably win in 5.
And is this Tobias's? I think this is only like his second or third playoffs. Because I know he made it with Detroit. And I want to say that's it.
That's probably it. I can't think of anything else.
So,
because he started with Orlando. They damn sure didn't play him.
And then he went to Detroit after that, right? Was it Detroit after that?
Yeah, he played in Detroit, but I don't think they made the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs with Tobias?
Nah.
So either way, you know, Tobias is new to the playoffs, but this is why they went and had to go get Jimmy, because he brings that playoff toughness. He brings that resolve, and we see it pay dividends so far. I think probably the most interesting series to me so far has been Portland-OKC.
Yes.
Because that boy, dang.
The West 4-5 is always the most interesting.
It is, because it could go either way.
Yeah.
It go either way. The way Dame came out, man, that man, like B said, he was pulling from the parking
lot. I take that back. They did make the playoffs.
They did.
In 2015, 2016 with Detroit.
Yep. And I think that's the only time he played in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. 4 games. He averaged 14 points.
Yep.
But they were swept. Was that?
Against Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to ask. Yeah.
Kyrie and them.
Stanley Johnson, when he thought he was on LeBron's level.
This is that's the year Cleveland played Atlanta, the 60-win Atlanta Hawk team.
You know, Portland had the second best record in the West after the All-Star break behind Houston.
They always end the season strong.
They went 14-3 down the straight.
They did the same thing last year, right? They went on a run.
And that's without Nurkic and CJ.
So what is Dame again?
I mean, you know, top 15, top 20.
Yeah, he is that. He ain't a superstar, though.
You
got to get out the first. You can't be a superstar getting knocked out first round.
But he's made it to the second round. And he's been
to a second round.
I feel you. But there's plenty of guys that haven't even
if he
that.
Again yeah. if,
and get paid
if,
more. If,
that's if, that's if the NBA accolades. Twitter stuff.
It is.
That's if that new media.
I'm just saying if he gets knocked out this first round, is he still a superstar?
That's not a good way to grade and evaluate.
But I have the same thing. The reason why I'm not saying much about Russell Westbrook, because I could, the last few years you could say the same about him, but he's also been to a Western Conference final multiple times. He's been to the NBA finals once. Like he's
but people still take that way of thinking and still apply it to Russ in present day because he hasn't been back. He hadn't been back to the finals.
Well, he hasn't had as much help until now as Dame has had as far as in Portland. Back in when the last, outside before he got
did he have your boy last year?
I'm talking about before the Paul George and all that. I'm saying when Russ was like, he was like 2 seasons when
talking about Paul George.
I mean, Russell Westbrook. I'm saying
but who he had last year in the playoffs? Who was on his squad?
I'm talking about before that.
That was 1 year. That was 1 year with Victor Oladipo.
He wasn't by himself for 2 years?
No, 1 year. KD left. They got Victor Oladipo.
Because he was by himself for 1 season. That was before Oladipo, right? And then they got Oladipo, and then they got Paul George and Melo.
You're thinking, I think you're mixing up when KD got hurt and also when Russ got hurt. Because it was 1 season where they both got hurt and they kind of played by themselves on the squad. But when KD left, they got Oladipo. That, like, Russ did not play a year with zero help. He had Oladipo. And then they traded Oladipo to go get Paul George. And they also had your boy. You don't want to say his name. I don't know why you want to say his name.
Because I only say great things about about Hall of Famers.
He is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that. But the thing is, he didn't bow out gracefully.
And I don't like Billy Donovan. I'm not going to give excuses. But that team should have got out the first. But they didn't expect to get smacked by Utah like that.
Well, hey, Utah has some dogs on that squad.
They didn't expect that.
And my guy, Joe Ingles. You know, I don't know names, but my guy, Joe Ingles, is all up in PG and Mellow Grill. But look, this year, I think that, and this is just me, I think OKC loses to Portland. I think they do. And this is the reason why, man.
Because of Dame? You think Dame is that pissed off of last season that he's like, I got to kill everybody?
I think Dame is a reason, but I'm not going to say he's the reason. I think the main reason is what I've been saying about Russell Westbrook for as long as he's been doing this, man. Love him. If I was a coach, I'd want him. If I was a player, I want him on my team.
What about GM?
Oh, the GM, that's top three in the league. Sam Presti?
No, I'm saying as far as if you were a GM, would you?
Oh, yeah, GM too. Okay. I draft him. I trade for him. I do whatever. That's the type of person you want. However, you know, there's no perfect player.
Uh-huh.
And his flaws come out at the worst times, which is down the stretch, critical moments. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he tries to play too much hero. Sometimes he doesn't always make the best decision. Sometimes he's out of control. He's not. Like, one of the biggest things that my coach always taught me was poise. As a point guard, you got to be poised. Can't no amount of pressure bother you. You know what I'm saying? Like, the more pressure, the slower the game got to be for you. And it doesn't seem like that for Russ. And it doesn't seem like over all of this playoff experience, over all of the triple doubles, over all the MVP year, it's gotten better, but it ain't where it should be for a player of his caliber at the point guard position. If he was a 2 or 3, a 4 or 5, okay, cool. That's different. The point guard is supposed to control the game, especially in critical moments. And because he just isn't as poised as he should be, it's hard for me to pick them. It is. And then it's like, if he had more firepower than Portland, then, oh yeah, I go, but they don't. Dame and CJ can out-duel Russ and PG.
You say that like with confidence.
I'm saying that I think this is going to be a 6-game series, and I think Portland wins.
I think I agree that they're more evenly matched. This is probably the most evenly matched series you're going to see, maybe for the whole playoffs. Maybe. Depending on the second round matchups. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather have Paul George than CJ.
I'll give you that.
And to me, Russ does so much more than Dame.
But in playoff basketball, give me Dame.
I give you, you're talking, because you're thinking about if I need a bucket, there's no question with him. I do question Russ.
I'm just talking about the decision making in the critical moments. I trust Dame more than I trust Russ. Yes, Russ does way more. Russ is more athletic. Russ gets more rebounds. Russ is more physical. I love Russ, but in those moments, minute and a half left, down 3. You know what I'm saying?
Give
me Dame.
I see what you're saying. I think Russ breaks that with this series. I think he has to. If he doesn't, then I'm with you. Give me Dame over Russ.
He will.
If he doesn't do that this series, then give me Dame over Russ moving forward.
See, isn't wisdom going by past experiences, right? And especially if they're consistent. Like, Russ in the playoffs has been consistent. Russ in the regular season has been consistent. I don't know how you just turn on a magic switch and then all of a sudden he's going to be more poised down the stretch. I don't see how he turns.
Because
that on.
Remember how they beat Houston.
That was a great moment. But if you watch it, he hesitated on that pass.
But people know his tendencies.
But he hesitated. It's not like he knew that that's the pass he was going to make. It was like that pass was almost forced out of him.
I feel like
as a point guard, those things, I'm supposed to know that. I didn't even have to look. I could just boom like.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? And you see it. Even though he made the right play, it was, he hesitated on it. You, as a point, you cannot hesitate on that, man. You just can't. And because of that, time after time after time after time, and he's gotten better. And I've chronicled that. But he, for Russ to win, he needs more firepower than what he has currently. He just does, because you have to be able to overcome those mistakes that he makes.
Okay.
And I just, I
agree with you, but I'm going to give him this series to see if he can, if he could change that. If not, then I agree that I'll take Dame over Russ, even though it's close, but I'll take him over Russ. Now, a series that shouldn't be close at all is Toronto, Orlando.
Look, man, I know.
Go ahead, preach on. I'm going to let you just preach.
I know Brooklyn won one. And to me, Brooklyn is way better than Orlando, because Orlando is a hodgepodge. Like, what's your identity? You have Michael Carter Williams, bro.
Is it DJ Augustine?
DJ Augustine's your starting point. They're supposed to sweep Orlando. Orlando shouldn't even be close, bro. Orlando, it's just lucky that they got there. Orlando is in a place where, you know, Aaron Gordon needs that playoff experience. You know, obviously Bamba ain't playing, but Vucevic needs this playoff experience. He hasn't tasted playoff basketball his entire career. You know what I'm saying? But outside of just garnering that experience, they're supposed to be getting waxed by 15 plus every game. And for them to come out and play the way they did, I have major questions about Toronto, because I've never been a Kyle Lowry fan. And for him,
I mean, they blasted them tonight, though.
They did, but that's a response game.
Man.
I agree with FIFA when it comes to, if you're the better team, set the tone. Like, yeah, to me, it's like, you can lose a game on a road, but it can't be the first game. Like, for me, because that's what you play so hard
in
a regular season.
Not the seed. Not that. Look.
You know, LeBron has historically lost game ones.
But that's LeBron. Ain't no little.
I know, but he comes back and he takes care of business.
But that's LeBron. We talking Orlando.
I know.
Or we talking Toronto. Kawhi ain't LeBron. Like, Kawhi's
a champion,
but he's not LeBron.
All right,
lost. He not LeBron, but he ain't.
But y'all know
he ain't that bad to where he can let Orlando slip up, like catch him slipping.
It happens. We saw what happened with Golden State last. Y'all know we don't overreact to game one.
No, but this is different because it's Toronto. They don't have a history of, we can give you a benefit of the doubt. The Golden State Warriors are the last two. I can't remember the time they haven't won.
Beat the shit out of Orlando tonight, we could talk.
But here's the thing, though. And I don't have no concern of Toronto winning this series. They're probably.
Do you think Orlando's going to win another game?
No.
Okay.
But here.
Are we looking ahead? Is that what y'all?
Yes. That's what I'm all. This stuff is me looking ahead.
Yeah.
When I say I worry about Philly, or when I say worry about Toronto, it's not right now. It's more like competition going to get harder, and you can't let these games go. Like, every playoff game matters.
But it's also about playoff matchups.
It is. And you know what? And what did I say? Who are the first two people I named off of that Orlando squad? DJ Augustine and Michael Carter Williams and this man Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's supposed to be getting 30, 40 points against these guys, dog. He's a scoring point guard, and the starting point guard is way smaller than him. And then the second point guard, I don't even know how he's still in the league. Look, man, he went 0-for.
I know.
0-for. No. No.
No points, no basket score.
Bro, look. And I don't want to crap on this man like he's just a bum.
But you do it every year.
But in the playoffs, he is.
5 years in a row, man.
And this is cause for concern. Because
he's the only you know how they say, if you're the only variable that's consistent in the problem, in fact, that whole section, then it's you. It gotta be you. Yeah, DeRozan gone. They damn near leveled the whole team. They drafted new talent. You the only player that's really been there for the longest. And you're always
so
the
wasn't
one that.
Casey. No. Nope. Lowry.
Yeah. I've been saying that.
And
But the other thing too was, I think DeMar DeRozan's mental against LeBron too. I think that reared its ugly head too. It was just a mental thing for DeMar against LeBron. So, but Kyle Lowry though, man, like, bruh, Bruh.
He plays the most important position in basketball right now, and he went an over against Orlando. Like, it's just,
you're an all-star.
When you say that whole sentence, that doesn't, like, you're a five-time all-star. We're our, like, multiple-time all-star. I don't know how many times he's, but he's a multiple all-star.
Let me see what he did tonight. I'm not worried.
Look, I'm not worried against Orlando. Okay. Because their second matchup is going to be against, what is that? Because it's
the 3-6?
3-6. So that is
That's not Boston. Philly? That's Philly and Brooklyn.
Yeah, look, man.
Oh.
Toronto played Philly, and now you got to go against Ben Simmons.
Bro. Lowry put up 22.
Because if you're that's what he's supposed to do. He was supposed to put up 40 game one, bro.
If you're Philly, you look at that game like, oh, yeah, we got them. Like, you don't even like, it's like, when we meet them, we got them.
Danny Green didn't score. He went over.
But you ain't worried. You ain't on, game planning for yeah. Danny Green like yeah. that.
Danny Green is a championship role player in the sense that I need him to have one or two good games in a series.
Exactly.
That's it. Play defense and give me one or two good games, and you did your job.
And what's his number one priority? Play defense. We don't even ask you to score yet.
Play defense and hit open threes. That's it. You don't got to play, make, create. You don't have to get other people involved. That's Kyle Lowry's job. How many assists did he have in game one? Kyle Lowry.
Oh, let me see. Damn, man, y'all.
Nah, man, look.
I'm telling you, that's a
major cause.
He's a bench player disguised as a starter. He's been that his whole life.
Because he ain't going to do nothing against no Ben Simmons now. And you over here struggling out the gate against Orlando? Oh, my God.
I mean, they barely won that game.
Don't matter.
They shouldn't have won anyway.
He had 8 assists and 7 rebounds. He just didn't score.
But what's he known for? He ain't Lonzo.
He used to get triple doubles.
He did not used to get triple doubles.
Yes,
like
he did.
That. Not to be known as somebody.
Yes, he did. No. Early in his career.
He has less than 12 for his entire career. I guarantee you. You can look it up. I guarantee you he has less than 12.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. Who's next?
Yeah, while Ken does that, then who else is playing?
I mean,
Milwaukee.
Because we don't need to talk about Milwaukee Pistons, right? I mean, Blake Griffin gone.
It's a wrap.
Shout out to B, though, wherever he at.
Yeah. 14.
We talked about him. Okay, he got 14. I was going to say under 15.
So I was close. I was mad close.
I was going to say he was down close. By 2. That's not enough to say that he used to get triple doubles like
many,
that.
How many years in the league?
Oh, 15.
He's been in the league over 10, so that's like less than 2. A year. So no, Ken. He's not known for triple doubles.
Denver, San Antonio.
Very interesting matchup.
That's my upset. That's my only upset pick of the first round.
So you're saying, yeah, San Antonio.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, every young team, and me and B, I wish B was here right now, they gotta get their ass whooped in the playoffs. And this is the year for Denver to get their ass whooped in the playoffs.
Nope. Denver.
So you're picking Denver to win?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I, just like Belichick, I ain't going against Pop in a 7-game series against a team like this. Like a young team, hasn't been there, excellently coached. Mike Malone is the guy. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be there for a minute.
So you trust, I know you trust in Pop, and yes. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But Pop hasn't managed to get the best out of LA in the playoffs.
Nobody has. Okay. LA's a lost case.
All right.
I won't say a lot. He was good in Portland. He was really
in
good.
The playoffs.
No, he wasn't.
No. He did have one good game in Portland.
One good game where he barely missed anything. I think he had like
50 plus.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then the next game after that, he was a bum.
Damn, if he would have stayed, like, if he.
DeRozan, so you, I mean, this is DeRozan's first year with Pop.
But this is Pop.
But this is Pop.
This is Pop. Everything's different with
everybody
Pop.
Everybody can't be saved, bro.
But you know what? Look, here's the thing. DeRozan ain't seeing LeBron this year. So he good. He's
that's
like,
true.
That's why
I said that in the chat. Like, the year LeBron is not in the playoffs, there's so much chaos, and I love it. Like, it's up for grabs. Everybody got a case. Everybody has a really good case. But it's competitive now. You don't really know who's going to... There's a lot of upsets that are going to happen this
year. Let me ask you. Right. So since you picked Denver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they split. San Antonio got the first game. Denver just won this game. What do you think happens game... what do you think happens game 3?
I think Denver will win game 3. I think they're still
So the first game back in San Antonio,
they're not winning that
popping
one.
Them.
They're not winning that one.
I don't know about that one, Ken.
Derek White, Forbes, all Bertans, all of these players that Pop is a mastermind at getting squeezing something out of them. Sometimes they could be unknowns and maybe playing at home for the Nets two could get the best out of them. And maybe they will hold on to a lead at home than they did, compared to what they did tonight on the road. But I just think Denver's at the end of the day will prove to be the better team. And I think they'll split and they'll probably win in six.
I don't know. The way I kind of see this series going, this is just me. I think San Antonio comes back home. I think they win both games.
Mm. Damn.
So I think they're going to have a 3-1 lead. I think Denver goes back. They win. And then San Antonio closes them out.
Mm. So you said six?
Six.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to the same point, but it's not that way. I think the series will be tied 2-2 going back to Denver, and then San Antonio takes it from there.
I think that with the inexperience of Denver going into a very tough place to play, I think that it could overwhelm them, especially that first game. Game three, I think they'll get a little overwhelmed. I think they'll fight their way out of it, but it's going to be too late. Game four is going to be a lot closer. Denver will know what to expect, but I just think execution down the stretch, I'm going with Pop. Denver now believes that they can win. They mm-hmm. go back. They wax San Antonio. Game five, they wax them. Like, it's like, oh, okay, Denver might win. But then it's Pop, man. I can't go against Pop.
Yeah, at this point, like, Pop has taken a lot of teams far, and there's an argument that some of them teams could even went further. Like, that year that Kawhi got, you know, decapitated by Zaza, that could have been an upset in itself.
They had 14, 15-point lead at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... You know, so I can't go against Pop. And here's the thing. If Denver wins and Pop and them lose, it is what it is. But it's just like Belichick and Brady at this point. I can't bet against them, dog. Like, he done proven me wrong too many times.
I believe in Pop. I don't believe in L.A. and DeMar DeRozan and then a bunch of newbies in the playoffs.
Don't Gary Payton look like DMX now?
He do. Yeah. But he still look good, though. He still look like he'll lock somebody up.
Who else is there?
Hold on, I can pull up the list.
We got who else? We talked
about Boston, Indiana. We ain't talk about
that. Because you could, look, man,
we know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's just
Indiana started to lose their magic as the season waned
on. Of course. And then, you know, I think the thing that we all wanted to see was playoff Boston. Right?
This was what Kyrie was always talking about. Like, just give me the playoffs and shut the hell up.
And if he plays like that, they play like that.
It's a wrap.
They can make it out.
They didn't look good.
So Jason Tatum ain't look good to you?
Bro, how many points did they score? 81?
Did you see Gordon Hayward? He ain't look good?
I don't think they're there yet. I think
did you see Marcus Smart? Marcus Morris?
They were trailing against Indiana in the first half by what, double digits almost. They had to come back and win that game against a depleted Indiana team.
But
they didn't even score 85 points.
But we always said that they need a series to tune up, right? Like, this is the perfect series. Team to do that, because they're going to make them play hard. They're not as talented, so they should win, but they're going to get that juice going. They're going to be that defibrillator.
And then also, you saw who led the league in blocks, right? Miles Turner. So they're playing against a defensive stalwart at the rim that they're not going to see outside of maybe Embiid, maybe Giannis. A rim protector, they're not going to see one better than this. You know what I'm saying? So I think that this is the perfect tune-up game for them, or tune-up series for them, because we know that any Nate McMillan team mm-hmm. is going to play defense and they're going to play tough, right? So they're going to have to get their offensive mojo together. Obviously, they didn't score a lot of points, but at the end of the day, matchups dictates how you play. And we know that Indiana is going to come out and play tough D. To me, I'm more so looking at how are they executing in the critical moments. You know what I'm saying? To me, look, Boston and Brad Stevens' MO is always come back. It just has been. Even with IT and that squad, this squad, that's just kind of Boston's thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It is what it is. But I'm not worried about that aspect. I'm worried about down the stretch, can you make the championship plays? And is everybody on the same page? I can't see, you know, that Orlando game early in the season when the play's developing and Gordon Hayward throws the ball away. That's not championship basketball. So I need to see the opposite of that. And I saw some of that. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll see as the as this series progresses. I think we all got Boston in this.
Like, Indiana
ain't got enough. Oladipo playing, that's a different story. But the way that they are right now, I got Boston. They just need to execute down the stretch. They do that, they'll be ready for whoever they see in the second round.
Oh, we haven't talked about Houston, Utah, but it's the same. I feel like it's the same thing with Boston, Indiana.
I don't think so. I think outside of Portland, OKC, that's the next best matchup.
I want it to be, but that first game, and then it's just over. They're overwhelming. They're just overwhelming for Utah. Like I love Utah, and I really love Donovan Mitchell. I think he's next up.
The new D Wade.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I wanted to say that, but I know Ken's still mourning. So, I just think Houston just has too much firepower. They shoot too many threes, and they're the 3-point shooting team now, even more than Golden State. So it seems like James Harden, Chris Paul, they on a mission this year to prove everybody wrong. Like to me, this playoffs this year, it's a lot about proving doubters wrong. I think there's a lot of teams that can put that as far as like people have been talking. A lot of people have counted us out, not really making us the favorites like we think we are, and we got to prove that.
Yeah, they're definitely playing with a chip on their shoulder. The thing I like about this Houston Rockets team is that they're more well-rounded. They have less holes now, even though they got.
That's crazy because like in the beginning of the year, it was the complete opposite, right?
But again, they're Amori. Doing what GMs are supposed to do. Like, he went and got Manimal.
Yep.
And he fits perfect with what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? They went and got,
Iman Shumpert. Austin Rivers
was big for them. You know, last year they got Gerald Green, right? Like, Gerald Green, this is the second year with him. You know what I'm saying? So Daryl Morey, as the time has gone on, he's added the pieces to complete this roster. They don't have as many holes. Still got Eric Gordon. You know, they have what it takes to beat Golden State now. Now it's just up to health and play.
And Harden.
Health and play. They gotta be healthy. CP gotta be, you cannot be Golden State without CP. They need CP. They need the health. And they just gotta play. Yeah. Like James just, bro, you average 36 a game. You average 36 a game. And what do we say about great players in the playoffs? They supposed to improve. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, shit. I'm not saying you're supposed to average more than 36, but you got to get 35. You got to get 35.
I would say just get the 30s. As long as
you
got to
get in the 30s. And if he does that and he plays, and I think for them, it's more so about critical moments as well. Executing down the stretch. That's what's going to be able to beat Golden State.
Yes.
Because you can shoot it out all you want. We know you got the firepower. We know if Golden State put up 140, you're going to put up 140. In the last minute and a half, are you going to have two turnovers or are you going to have the two assists that put you up 6 points? What's it going to be? You know what I'm saying? I know obviously we're projecting forward because we're not even talking about Utah.
Yeah.
Utah is overwhelmed. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're a half court team. They're a very half court team.
They don't have enough.
Yeah. They
can't run the gun like that. You know, so
Utah may not win a game.
They might not.
Yeah.
I don't, and I love Utah. Any other matchup?
Exactly.
Like if they would have played OKC.
Yeah, that sounds like.
They would have played OKC.
I thought that's why I went like, cause literally I swear the West, their lineup changed like so many times the night before the season. And I was like, damn. Then I looked like, I thought Utah was going to play OKC. Then I see they playing Houston. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, Detroit, nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Giannis.
But I definitely think, I think that was the last one. I think you might be right about Portland and OKC. I think that whatever happened to Paul George, I think is definitely slowing them down because he just kept jacking up threes.
And this is supposed to be their year too.
I don't know.
He had an MVP season before he got hurt.
But it was looking like it was going to be a better year.
Their year as far as getting out the first round. Like it was going to be like, all right, they could possibly Because they went on a run too. You know, they could possibly get somewhere into maybe best case scenario, like Western Conference final.
Third seed before Paul George hurt his shoulder, but statistically it shows his play has dwindled off. Like, he doesn't claim it. He's doing the right thing, saying, nah, there's nothing wrong. I'm healthy. But we all know. And Dame just, I mean,
yeah, Dame won it. And here's the thing. So let me put
it's crazy because all the other pieces around him isn't all that.
Let me put my GM hat for a minute. OKC is going to have to move off of Sam Adams. I love the man, but they're going to have to move off of him. And this is the reason why I say that, because what he does, and obviously he's elite. He's an elite rebounder, screen setter, you know what I'm saying? Tough guy. You need guys like that.
You're saying you can get that elsewhere?
You can get that cheaper. And what they need is they need either, like a stretch four man, or, you know, a two guy, but they need another
Grant isn't offensive enough. He's just defense. He can shoot threes, but
he can finish the lobs and all of that stuff. But the amount of money that they paying him, they need to pay a guy that can go get buckets.
You know, if they had like a Paul Millsap, somebody like that, that would have been that's a great piece to have right now.
You know, and you know, like, imagine if they could go like make a trade for like Mitchell Robinson. Like, bro, you can replace what Sam Adams does at a cheaper price. Obviously not as good. I'm not saying that you're going to get the same quality, but you could get the same type. And I think for OKC to progress into that Golden State, Houston, you know, plethora or level of team, that they need to make that move.
But you know, OKC love their big man.
That's their trade. Yeah, that's what they traded Harden for.
They pay their big man before they pay. They'll overpay their big man more than anybody else. This
would just be tough, man, because I love both teams in terms of the players on them. Like, I want to see Russ, you know, get past the first round to silence some critics, although it won't be enough. And I want to see Dame, you know, kind of redeem what happened last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to hate whoever loses series one way or the other. It's just, but, you know.
Because it damages whoever loses.
Yep.
Big time.
It's going to be because it'll be ammunition. It'll be ammunition for the critics on whoever.
Exactly.
Loser, yeah.
Oh, Dame is not that nice. Dame is overrated. Or Russ, what do the triple doubles matter if you can't even get it out of the first
round? No, I honestly think I will never say Dame is not that nice or Dame is overrated. He's just not a superstar. Superstars finish those moves. I'm just saying he's not a super. There's only a handful of superstars and he isn't one of them. But I have reasons that critics will say, you know, will use the same type of evidence, but in my mind, I still think Dame is easily premier at his position.
We could agree to disagree there.
Because
to me, Dame's a superstar, man. There's been several seasons where we didn't think that they should make the playoffs, and they've made the playoffs. He's been underrated in terms of making the All-Star team. He's been underrated in terms of getting even an invite to the Olympic team. We're talking about a guy that is top three in his first five seasons and shooting three-pointers or making three-pointers. I mean, there's just so many things that Dame has done. He was a rookie of the year, you know, now multiple time All-Star. And if we think about clutch players in the NBA,
that's goaltending.
If we think about clutch players in the NBA, he's top two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's up there.
So it's like, what more does he need now?
More than KD?
Yeah. To me, if you give me a hierarchy of who
KD
I want to
KD isn't
that
clutch.
What?
He really isn't.
Like that game more, three in the
more,
finals?
He's more clutch now than what he was in OKC.
Yeah.
He's more clutch now. But number one and number two, hands down,
it's Kyrie and Dame. Yeah. I would give KD over Dame as far as clutch.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen that game three in the finals.
Man, that shit just happened, bro. You talking about last 2 years.
Bro,
and that wasn't even that
we only
clutch
got,
of a damn
I mean,
shot.
I mean, let's be honest.
There's no pressure.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm about to say.
Come on, man.
There wasn't pressure in that series. Like, you know, if KD would have missed a couple of shots, they still would have won.
But he made the shots. He blew
a 3-1 lead too. He only had one though.
He had only had one.
Don't matter.
He had one and he matched it with two going on three rings. I can't say the same about Doc.
Come on, those rings don't count. they count, but they don't count.
I'm about to say Wade's ring. Wade only got one ring.
They count, but come on, man.
You gonna say that Wade only got one ring?
Come on, man. You can't say he made it up.
You gonna say that Wade only got one ring?
You know an adjustment I would make right now if I was a coach of the Blazers, Terry Stotts. I just play off Russ. I force him to shoot. I force it.
You rather take that?
He's so bad, right? Because he had an opportunity right now to do his patented pull up move against CJ McCollum, and he brought it out. A couple plays before that, he shot a three, missed badly. If I'm Terry Stotts, I'm like, give the man 5 feet, let him shoot how many.
Shoot like Ben Simmons.
Yeah. At this point, I just let him shoot whatever he wants. Just don't let him get to the paint.
Well. By the time we come back next week, we're going to have some series decided, I think, because they love to stretch out the first round. So I haven't looked at the schedule, but
they need to go back to whoever said it. Was it B or Kyle?
They need to go back to three out of five. Money.
You think so?
For the first round?
I don't think so because here's the thing. Like, I think that going 7 in the first round allows the lesser team to actually have a fighter's chance because of matchups, right? Because think about it. Like we said, if Utah played OKC, Utah would get OKC. Mm. You know, but now they're playing Houston. They about to get ran off the court.
But it's just like, but nonetheless, we're going to end up at the same result. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, why, there's certain series that we're anticipating. Like second round, we're waiting on that.
But you said it. We're going to end up with the same result. So the lesser team's going to end up losing.
Why waste time? There could be an injury in game four. You know what I'm saying? That's unnecessary.
I like it. I'm not against it.
And then here's the thing. Like, I'm always for more basketball. So, you know, prolong the season.
I'm always for the best basketball. I don't need that much. I'd rather have quality than quantity.
But that's what the playoffs are. It's about quality.
Yeah, it's the best 16 teams in the NBA.
Pistons ain't one of the best 16.
In each conference. It's not the overall.
Orlando ain't a damn man.
It's not overall.
Get rid of that's the reason why I say I don't need 7 games of them. Like, more primarily for the East than the West. But if we're talking about the playoffs, that's
going to be as bad as it is. Like, they're not nowhere near fully healthy.
If Blake Griffin was there.
And I still think it's exciting that Dwayne Casey in his first year got to the playoffs.
Yeah, and if Blake was there, they wouldn't beat Milwaukee. They just don't have
to. No.
Exactly, yeah.
But they could have got a game.
Yes.
They could have definitely
got a game.
You know, so.
And you get a chance to see, like, evaluate these teams, you know, and see what they need to do to improve to come back next year, so.
Boy, she's so bad. Taylor Rooks, ooh, boy.
Anyway, look at Dave. All right, man, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.